Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, one of the most interesting conversations I have had in quite some time. Steve Kirsch, a $20 million Democrat donor, is leaving the Democrat Party over an issue that might surprise you or might not surprise you, the vaccine. We talk about that. Steve Kirsch is one of America's most successful entrepreneurs, and you will learn something in this episode, one of my favorite conversations I've had recently. I encourage you guys to send this episode to your friends. And make sure you're subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast, Charlie Kirk Show, and hit subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. As always, you can email me your thoughts. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. You can start a high school chapter or start a college chapter today at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. And again, support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Steve Kirsch is here for a phenomenal conversation. I think you'll really enjoy it. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. With us right now is one of my favorite guests, super smart and interesting and also courageous, Steve Kirsch. Steve, welcome back to the program. There's a lot of things I want to cover with you here. The first of which caught my attention, your team sent this over, is a kind of a interesting thing where you say that the American left or the Democrat Party no longer shares your values, that you're a $20 million donor to the Democrat Party and that you might jump ship. I'm super interested in this. Tell us about it.
Well, I can't speak to any member of the Democratic Party. I mean, I've given over $20 million to the party, say, in the last 20 years, and I can't get a return phone call. I cannot get anybody on the phone to talk about what's happening with the vaccine that I've contributed to, or, you know, even candidates that I haven't. Nobody will talk to me in the Democratic Party. The only return calls I get are from people like Senator Johnson in the Republican Party. And no Democrat will want to face the facts about the vaccines and the safeties and the safety signals that are in plain sight. And we can't even have a discussion. I can't even try to get a meeting even with doctors to talk to them. So nobody's returning my calls. So if they're going to ignore me, I'm going to ignore them.
Yeah. And so just interestingly, you know, over $20 million given to Democrats the last 20 years. Why do you think that it's more people on the center right or conservatives that are willing to entertain just some sort of, let's say, heterodox opinion on the vaccine than people on the left of the Democrat Party? Why do you think that is?
I think the people on the left are much more trusting of authority. And that's what gets you into real problems here, because, you know, I was trusting of authority, too. That's why I got my two doses of Moderna back in March of 2021 when it first rolled out, because I had complete trust in the authority and the government. And I think that's probably true of a lot of people on the left. They have this trust. And what broke the trust for me is when a friend called and she asked me if the vaccine was safe. And I said, well, of course it's safe. It's perfectly safe. It's safer than anything else in history. They're like really going overboard to make sure this vaccine is safe. And I asked her, why are you asking me that question? And she said, well, she had three of her relatives who died a week after they got the vaccine, and they were perfectly healthy before that. And so I said, but that's impossible. The vaccine is perfectly safe and effective. There's that, what you just told me is impossible. And then she said, Yeah, but they're dead. And that just stopped me in my tracks, right? Because there's no way you can respond to that. If the vaccine was safe and effective, that anecdote is impossible, or let's just say very unlikely. And then a week later, one of my the vendors that services my home came and, you know, showed up in a mask. And I asked him, hey, what's with the mask? Haven't you gotten with the vaccine program? You know, so I'm still a believer. And he said he had a heart attack 2 minutes after he got the vaccine. And he has been in pain, severe pain, ever since he got the vaccine more than a year ago. Now, this is like two black swans in a week. And then I started looking at the VAERS data, and that's what red-pilled me. And now, you know, it's unbelievable that you cannot talk to anybody, not a single person in the Democratic Party. I mean, I can't even get on a phone call with where my congressman is Anna Eshoo. And she has these phone calls every week. And she says, hey, there's no censorship at all. Well, I'll take any questions at all. And I know how to get to be first in the queue, the call queue. Guess what? I'm never called upon. So even when they set it up and they say, oh, no, we don't censor anyone. We're completely unbiased. They basically know what my phone number is, and they won't take my questions. So you can't even get in on the town hall. It's impossible. I have been trying for over a year to talk to any member of the Democratic Party, and I have been met with silence.
Steve, this is so fascinating to me. I'm taking this all in. There's one part of the question I asked, which is why do you think that they were more trusting of it? You answered it, I think, perfectly, which is you're right. Conservatives generally have more distrust in centralized control and big institutions. But there's a second part of it that you just touched on. Why is it that the left is unwilling to adjust when the data is so clearly showing them something different? Also engage in a nonstop campaign of censorship. Why is that also the case?
Well, because this is the biggest fraud in American history, and they can't have it come down on them, because it makes the Democrats look very bad for pushing this. So nobody wants to confront the truth, because it will destroy the credibility of the Democratic Party. It will destroy our trust in the medical community. It will destroy our trust in the FDA, NIH, and CDC. And it will destroy our trust in the mainstream media, who has not been reporting any of this. And it destroys our trust in all members, you know, in almost all members of Congress as well, because it's only Ron Johnson and maybe a few others,
yes,
that are really speaking out about this. And the most tragic thing, Charlie, is the vaccine injured. Now, we just did a survey, and also there's a Zogby survey that Children's Health Defense just did. And Children's Health Defense found in their survey, 10% of people have buyer's remorse on getting the vaccine. So that suggests 10% vaccine injured. In our surveys, we got 11% and 13% in two of the most recent surveys. And we've done five surveys. And so all of these surveys are showing 25 million vaccine injured in America today. And the NIH, the guy at the NIH, Dr. Naff, who is responsible for looking into vaccine injuries, says there's no connection between the vaccine and these injuries. And I have been trying to get in touch with him for a long time, and he ignores all my phone calls. He ignores all my emails. He ignores all the emails from my followers. He will not go and do a conversation with me to explain how these people can go from perfectly healthy to having 86 symptoms that are associated with vaccine injured. You go from 0 to 86 after you get the vaccine. You're perfectly healthy before, and now you have 86 symptoms. So, you know, these are symptoms like bleeding behind your eyeballs. Okay. I mean, these are not stuff that, I mean, I looked at the symptom list and I don't have any of these symptoms. And so for someone to go from 0 to 86 symptoms,
yes,
right after they get the vaccine, and there's no connection. You know, these people are hiding massive numbers of injuries, and it's not just a few people. It's tens of millions of Americans that have been vaccine injured, most of whom don't want to admit it. I talked to Wayne Root this morning,
mm-hmm,
He had 200 people attend his wedding, and he reported that 33 of them are injured. And people who follow, who he invites to his wedding, Wayne Root's conservative talk show host, the people who he invited to the wedding are mostly unvaccinated. Well, he found out that all 33 people he talked to who reported injuries, all of them were vaccinated.
That's right.
And they're reporting injuries like heart attacks, strokes, blood clots, yep. And seven of them are dead.
So
seven of them. And none of the people who were unvaccinated reported any injuries or any deaths.
That's right. We're blessed to live in the greatest nation ever to exist in the history of the world. Luke 12:48 says, quote, "To whom much has been given, much will be required." We as Christians can shape our world. One of these ways is how we steward our finances and our money. If you have money in stocks, you have the power to affect change through your investments. Jesus spoke about money in roughly 15% of his teachings and 11 out of 39 of his parables. How do we follow his teachings about money? Well, my friends at Pax Financial can help. I've opened an account with them. I think very highly of them. They are fiduciaries that will make sure you have a responsible plan to retire. I trust them with my money, and I hope you will as well. But look, they'll also help you invest in companies that align with your beliefs. No companies that engage in pornography or in excessive drinking or in a degenerate lifestyle. If you have $150,000 to invest, please text my name, Charlie, to the number 74868. And even if you don't have $150,000, maybe they'll make an exception for you. I don't know, but just learn more about them. Look, text Charlie to 74868. Take advantage of the power to make a difference with your money. Pax Financial. It was great for me. I think it will be terrific for you. Got an email. Charlie, my daughter only got vaccinated to go on a school trip to the Eastern Seaboard. She now has bad asthma. It was the Pfizer and Pfizer booster. So Steve, you and I are similar in the sense that we just followed the data and we followed stories and we just kind of said, well, this doesn't really seem to fit. What did you expect before speaking out on this topic? Did you expect some audience? Maybe you probably expected some pushback, but what was your expectation going in?
Oh, it was very simple. I expected people to look at what I had written. I had written a 285-page article for Trial Site News explaining all the evidence I had gathered over the last 3 weeks. And I published it in an article in Trial Site News, and I expected the scientific community to say, oh, you got it wrong here, you got it wrong here, and you got it wrong here, and you should correct your thinking because you missed this point. And, you know, there are some legitimate things. You know, there is some seasonality on all-cause mortality, for example, that most people aren't aware of, that could explain some things. But you see, the signals here were so massive. Nobody wanted to talk to me. They said, basically, I had a 14-member scientific advisory board of top scientists, and they all said that you are wrong, and we don't want to ever speak to you again. Do not contact us. And I pleaded with them, and I pleaded. I said, look, if I'm wrong, I'm happy to correct anything that I have said if you can show me the data. And they said, nope, not interested. You're wrong. We don't want to talk to you. Go away. You're causing harm with your views. We don't want to be associated with you. Take our names off your website. And so this was the reaction that I got. And I had expected, when you have differing scientific views, that scientists normally will debate you and explain to you, or, you know, figure out why you think the way you do and explain to you why you're wrong. But they wouldn't do any of that. And I have been trying for a year. We have been reaching out to everybody. Most recently, we've been reaching out to the CDC saying, hey, all of us misinformation spreaders are happy to stop spreading misinformation if, in fact, it's not misinformation. And so all we need is a meeting with you, and you can stop the misinformation in a heartbeat. You have been spending lots of time, lots of money, and lots of resources on doing this, and they will not meet with us.
Here's an interesting question. It's purely speculation, okay? Do you think the CDC knows how bad this vaccine actually is deep down? Do you think they actually know that?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
There are too many people that are resigning from the CDC and FDA. And, you know, I reached out to Marion Gruber from the FDA, for example, and there's no return phone call. You can't speak to these people once they leave. It's basically they're disgusted, they leave, and they won't talk to anybody, you know, even people on our side, because they don't want to just get involved. They just basically want nothing to do with it. So we're getting reports of this from all over, and I'm sure they know what's going on, because they can't possibly not know, because they're ducking out of everything. They won't defend their papers. You know, I tried Martha Sharon at the CDC, is the gatekeeper at the CDC for talking to CDC authors. Martha Sharon will not return a phone call. She will not return an email. There is no way. And the authors of the paper say that you have to get Martha to approve me talking to you. And so there's no way. You can't hold any of these people accountable. None of them will appear on any interviews to talk about anything related to the vaccine. They will only talk to friendly press. Tony Fauci was going to be interviewed. The story of Kim Iverson, mm-hmm. was supposed to be interviewing Tony Fauci. And Fauci found out that Kim Iverson was going to be asking questions. And he said, no, Kim Iverson is not allowed to ask me questions. And so Kim Iverson resigned because The Hill wouldn't let her interview Tony Fauci because Fauci wouldn't take questions with her.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so this is all controlled. All of this stuff is controlled. Only talk to people who agree
with
them.
It's so totalitarian. If you have this wonderful defense of the vaccine, then just spend 20 minutes and tell us why. Don't use abstractions. Don't use sound bites. Have a dialogue with us. Charlie Kirk here. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped MyPillow become an amazing company and really, honestly, become what it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO of MyPillow, great American, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale. For example, the queen size is regularly $89.98, but now it's only $39.98 with our listener promo code. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale sheets are breathable and they have a cold, crisp feel. These come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out today on this incredible offer. This is a limited-time supply, so make sure to order now. Go to 1-800-875-0425 now and use promo code Kirk, or go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. This offer will not last long, and they're known to sell quick, so order now with promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com. So, Steve, I'm curious about you before we dive into some of the data. Why are you doing this? I mean, you've made a bunch of money. You've built several successful companies. You have a beautiful home. You have a nice life. Why pick a fight against just a multi-trillion dollar machine? What drives you to do this?
No, that's simple, Charlie. It's because it's the right thing to do. When you have a situation, and I did the estimates of the number of Americans that have been killed by these vaccines, and the numbers at the time came out to be over 100,000, and now it's over 500,000 Americans that have been killed by the vaccine. And so when you have a situation like this and you know about it and you turn your back on it and say, hey, I'm going to live a normal life and I'm going to keep my friends and I'm not going to say anything. I'm not the kind of person who could live with myself doing that. And there came a time when I had to decide between being the CEO of a company that I started and making, you know, potentially millions of dollars doing that versus doing the right thing to use the money that I've earned and use that in an effort to expose the truth. And I didn't have to think very long in making that decision. And so I quit my job and basically, left everything on the table to go and do this because it's the right thing to do. And there are a lot of courageous people that have done similar things, maybe not with the same economics as what I did. But, you know, Brett Weinstein, did the same thing. When I discovered this, I reached out to Brett and proposed that I go on his show with Robert Malone and we expose this. And Brett spent a lot of time looking at the science and saying, look, if we do this, I'm only willing to do this if your science is solid. And if it is, I'm willing to risk my career and be demonetized by YouTube, which he was.
That's so true. He was
demonetized by YouTube. The video that he made with us, it had a million views. There were virtually all positive reviews, and YouTube took it down and demonetized him. So, you know, he basically sacrificed his career and his family and their income stream to do the right thing. Robert Malone, same thing. He was happily working as a consultant. He left his job as a consultant to do this full time, making no money at all, because that was the right thing to do. Peter McCullough, you know, super successful, highly respected scientist. He risked everything to do this, and he has had nothing but hardship ever since doing that. You know, he's been sued. He spent, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars on legal fees. You know, so these are all very courageous people. All the people that speak out are very courageous because they risk their jobs, their medical licenses, their hospital privileges, their credibility, and so forth, just to speak out. So I'm happy to be a part of that team. It is the right thing to do. And, you know, I have never regretted that decision.
Something I learned in life is that the truth is usually found in those who are willing to sacrifice for it. Usually. That's a general rule of life. That the people that are willing to take financial or social hits, they usually have figured something out that the rest of us probably should pay attention to. There's exceptions to that, obviously. You know, like, for example, people that do airplanes into towers, that's an exception. Those people are insane. But the point is that generally in life, you have someone like Brett Weinstein, yourself, Malone, Corey. This has not been an easy chapter or moment. Cancellation, condemnation, smear articles. And the other side, they get nothing but benefits and promotions. Fauci, Burks, they get book deals, they get cable television appearances. So Steve, for some of our audience that haven't heard you before, heard some of this data, and they're probably compelled by some of the things you've been saying so far, walk us through in detail, how much damage has this vaccine done? Give us some numbers.
Well, yeah, I think the biggest thing is the deaths. And if you look at the various numbers, you'll see numbers like 25,000, but you have to flip the switch. If you go to OpenVirus, .com, you have to flip the switch to just look at the U.S. numbers. The U.S. numbers are around 13,000 in VAERS, but you have to realize that VAERS is underreported by a factor of about 41. So you take 41, multiply that by 12,000, and you get over 500,000 Americans who have lost their lives to the vaccine. Now, people would say, oh, VAERS, that's unreliable. You can't calculate this 41 a number from anaphylaxis because deaths will be reported more than anaphylaxis and so forth. And so there's all sorts of people will do these what we call hand waving arguments, meaning they have no data behind them. They're just done for to obscure the real data. But you see, when we do the surveys, when we do outreach surveys, and we've done it with five different companies now, and we ask people, how many people in your household have been killed by COVID, died from COVID? How many have died from the vaccine? Guess what? We will get up to like three times more people saying that that have died from the vaccine than have died from COVID. Now, if you believe that a million people have died from the vaccine, then that's 3 million people that have died. Sorry, if a million people have died from COVID, then that means that 3 million people. And the surveys, you know, may not be super accurate, but, you know, order of magnitude, you know, suggests that at least a million people have died from the vaccine. So this number of 500,000 that we get from VAERS is confirmed when we do actual outreach and polling to people. And it's also confirmed with the anecdotes, you know, and there's one thing about anecdotes. The anecdotes don't lie. And the anecdotes are simply unexplainable.
Yes. Well, right. Yeah, and to add on to that, though, the anecdotes don't know the other anecdotes, right? So an anecdote, for example, an anecdote can be misleading. Someone could exaggerate. But someone giving you an individual anecdote doesn't know the next five you're going to hear, right? So therefore, if you hear the same anecdote 500 times, they're in no collusion or coordination with one another. So And if they're all saying the same thing with creepy precision, then you say, okay, now that's what we call a trend. Let me ask you, though, how'd you get the 41 factor number?
So the way you do the 41 factor is you use the CDC's own methodology for computing the underreporting factor in VAERS. And so that's exactly what we did. And we've asked the CDC. In fact, there is a former New York Times reporter who asked the CDC, hey, can you show us the underreporting factor that you calculated? And they refused to respond to him. So the underreporting factor that you calculate, you do it based on something that you know. And so there was a scientific experiment done at Mass General Hospital where they looked at the anaphylaxis rate after vaccination. And so they know what that number is. So then you go to the VAERS, so you know the absolute numbers. And so then you go to the VAERS data and you know how many people have been vaccinated and you know how many VAERS reports you got for anaphylaxis. And you say, oh my gosh, that is a factor of 41 underreported. So clearly we're only seeing a small fraction of it. Now for deaths, deaths are typically less reported than anaphylaxis is, because anaphylaxis is obvious. When you have anaphylaxis, it happens right after you get the shot. You can see the anaphylaxis reaction and you have to report it. But if you see a death, it could be a death from a car accident. And so you're not going to report it because you don't know that the person blacked out because of the vaccine. You know, just like people are dropping dead in plain sight. You know, they're a comedian and they're talking and they suddenly just keel over and either die or are unconscious. And so that can lead to all of these sort of bike accidents or other accidents that happen, car accidents that happen that are not attributed. And nobody even knows their vaccination status of the bodies. And typically these medical examiners do not have the vaccination status. So people are not able to report the deaths as well as they are something like anaphylaxis. So it's at least 40 times underreported, and probably more, which says that there are at least a half a million deaths. And that's just from VAERS alone, but it's confirmed with the polling data that shows it's probably more like a million people have been killed. And we've seen for the disability rolls, we've seen it go up by millions since the vaccines rolled out. And we have the Medicare all-cause mortality deaths are at an all-time high. And the CDC refuses to show the American people the Medicare all-cause mortality numbers because they're through the roof. That's why we're not seeing the data. Any data that is bad is not going to be shown to us.
So let me ask you, how does that square with the German Ministry of Health numbers that came out where they admitted one out of 5,000 people were getting their COVID shot is experiencing a serious side effect? The numbers correlate, or does it at least lead in a general direction of suspicion?
Yes, it's much more than that. You know, the Israeli government did their survey, their outreach survey. They didn't put it on their website in any place that people could see it. They posted it only to their Telegram channel. And their survey showed, for example, 4% had neurological damage after the vaccine. So this is the Israeli government survey showing 4% for neurological damage alone was 4%. So this lends credibility to surveys that show a 10% vaccine injury from all causes, like what Children's Health Defense got from the Zogby poll, and the 11% and 13% vaccine injury rate that we got on our polls. And so these numbers are simply through the roof. And even the anecdotes that I get, like I got an anecdote from one of the Monte Vista Christian School in Watsonville, California. And they had at least four vaccine injured, and they have like 800 kids total, 400 are boys. Not all of them are vaccine injured. So you're looking at a huge rate of myocarditis, which is much, much greater in real life than what they're telling you. And I'm getting I'm hearing the same stories from people in the military. These military surgeons are saying that it's probably somewhere between 1% and 4% of these pilots who have myocarditis because of the shots. So the numbers that you're hearing from the officials simply do not match what the numbers are that you're seeing very consistently from all of the anecdotes. Mm-hmm.
Steve, tell our audience a little about your organization that you have, you are involved with.
I started the Vaccine Safety Research Foundation to try to get the word out on what's going on. We have weekly calls. They happen every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And you can register for these calls at vacsafety.org. That's vacsafety.org. And tonight we have a pediatrician who is vaccine injured, who is speaking out and risking getting her medical license revoked for speaking out. And we have a college student who was anxious to get the vaccine, got the vaccine, and quickly realized that that was the biggest mistake of her life. And so she'll be on, and we have one other guest. So you can register for that, or you can just watch the live stream on Rumble. All the information is at vacsafety.org, vacsafety.org.
How much longer can they continue this cover-up? I feel as if they're even losing enthusiasm and pushing the vaccine. They're not as forceful as they were even a year ago. There's still some mandates here and there, but I sense an attitude of unease on their behalf.
Yeah, and we're seeing that, you know, so we're seeing the articles from people like Marty McCary, who was used to be a big supporter of the vaccines, and now he's writing articles on how people at the CDC and FDA are bailing out because they can't stand the hypocrisy anymore of what's going on. And of course, Vinay Prasad has always been outspoken about what the truth is. I'd like to red pill him more on the vaccine, but at least he calls out these fraudulent CDC studies. So it's nice to have someone in what is considered the mainstream medical community, a UCSF professor, calling the CDC out when they do bad stuff. So, you know, that certainly makes it easier for other people to come out. But it's hard because unless everybody sort of comes out en masse, what happens is anyone who comes out just get totally hammered. And so this prevents anyone from speaking out. And I've talked even to hospital CEOs. I said, hey, instead of punishing your doctors who speak out, why don't you reward them? And the hospital CEO said, hey, can't do that because I would be fired if I didn't fire them. So the whole thing is this circle of trust where the doctors always trust the CDC and they always trust these fraudulent phase three trials, because phase three trials in their mind is the gold standard. And, you know, of course, the Pfizer phase three trial showed that fewer people had severe adverse event reports who took the vaccine than who took the placebo. In other words, the clinical trial showed that the Pfizer vaccine actually is less harmful than a saline shot. Now, we know there is no doubt that's fraudulent. And in fact, Pfizer has even admitted that they defrauded the government in court. And they said, but the government was in on it, so it's not considered to be fraud. So here you having Pfizer admitting that they're cooking the books on the data. You know, they're not reporting deaths, the people who died. They're not reporting people who have been permanently crippled correctly. They're reporting them as mild abdominal distress as opposed to, well, she's permanently paralyzed, you know, things like this. And the FDA will not investigate. The CDC doesn't care. The mainstream media won't cover it. But, you know, people are seeing this stuff happening to their friends, just like Wayne Root, you know, seeing his friends where 200 people to his wedding and maybe half were vaccinated, so maybe half of them got the vax, 100 people. Seven of those of his guests are now dead today. That's a 7% death rate in just 8 months.
Just, you know, inexplicable deaths of dropping dead. Steve, we're out of time. Thank you so much. We deeply appreciate it. Stay on the case. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.